All right, we just sung about prayer, and so let us pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that we can come before you, that we can come and sit under your word. Lord, today we're in Matthew 8, 14 through 17, and I just pray that you will speak to us, Lord. I pray that you will see us, that, Lord, you will touch us, that you will heal us. And Lord, not only that, that you will just take away our sicknesses and diseases and our sin as far as from the east is from the west. So Jesus, we thank you that you are good to us. Amen. All right, before we get into the text, look at that picture. Put it back. Thank you. Look at this picture. Okay, notice there's just a bunch of sheep, okay? And then we'll get into it. All right. So that's all I just wanted you to notice, that we're a bunch of sheeple. So please turn, if you guys have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be in 14 through 17. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Over the last week, I've actually really grown to love this miracle, and I'm not sure before this week I've actually ever given it that much thought. And so that's one of the reasons why I love getting to preach every week, is because I get to think about something that maybe I haven't thought of before. And so I love this miracle because it isn't like a dramatic miracle, right? It isn't like one of Jesus' big miracles. And it's not a miracle that's talked about that often either. In fact, if it is mentioned, usually this text, if it's mentioned at least the first two verses, if it's mentioned, it's mentioned because someone wanted to note that Peter was married, that the disciples could be married. So look at Peter. He had a mother-in-law. He had a house, and they've excavated the house, and it must have been a house where people gathered, and we can see that happening here, even in this text. But and so that's mainly what this text has been used for, but I'm not sure I've heard or read an account on the miracle that took place here just in everyday existence. So you guys know that one of my favorite authors is Wendell Berry, and he has a book called Life is a Miracle, in which he comments, to treat life as less than a miracle is to give up on it. And I like it because packed in this quote isn't like miracle, like shining glory. He's talking about everyday things. He's talking about so much of what we go through in life is unknowable. So much of what we go through in life is given to us as a gift by God and as a gift. And there's so many variables that come into play in our own mind, let alone in our own world. And variables come into how we play, how we work, and just and they have a lot to do with even how we wake up every morning, how we breathe, and how we live. And so to treat life as less than a miracle is to give up on it. So in one sense, I believe that speaks to this text. And so the fact that we woke up this morning, I see you guys all here. I'm assuming that you're breathing. We all have breath in our lungs, and we likely ate breakfast and brushed our teeth, hopefully, you know. And so these are things that we did. And then we can come to this place and worship Jesus together is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. We do it every week, but it's still a miracle, let alone all the plants that survived, the chickens that survived out there, right? All these things are the flowers in bloom, and the beautiful weather yesterday is all a miracle, because all things are being sustained and held together by God's word and what he says. He wants it to continue. And so life is a miracle, and we get to treat every minute, every day, even the mundane, ordinary things of life as such. And I pray that this miracle of Jesus, this healing of Peter's mother-in-law, might wake up our imaginations to how wonderful ordinary miracles are. So, to mention another book is Liturgy of the Ordinary by Tish Harrison Warren. I know some of you have read it. And I love this book. It's right above my desk. It's right to my right, and I can look up at it, and I can see it with frequency, and I always think just about this idea every time I see it. So on the cover of the book, is the title of the book and the author's name, but there's also just, it's a green backdrop and there's two pieces of bread. One has peanut butter and the other has jelly. And then on the spine of the book, which is, I don't have it, the book facing out towards me. On the spine of the book, you can see the peanut butter and jelly as well with the two, with the green backdrop and the author's name. And this book, every day that I see it, serves as a reminder at how amazing God is. Because not every miracle is a resurrection miracle. Not every miracle is somebody being raised from the dead. Not every miracle involves somebody removing the roof of a house and Jesus saying, get up and walk, take up your mat, go home, your sins are forgiven, or anything like that. There is not a command in this text to pick up your mat and walk. There's not anything dramatic like that happening. It's kind of like for the first, I think of those miracles when Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. Like it's the person's first time walking in years and years, right? Like it's pretty amazing. But this miracle that Jesus performs today is more like a peanut butter and jelly type miracle. It's more like just kind of ordinary. It's just there. And when we come to Jesus, we are humble. We have to ask ourselves and be humble enough to follow him. See, the thing is that we're each given different roles, each given different gifts, each given different strengths, each given different timing and usages of these things, each set apart for different good works that God has laid out before us. But yet, at the same time, we are all equal before the eyes of Jesus. Right? And I think of it this way because I have a lot of pastor's friends and I'm a pastor, right? I don't consider myself as a shepherd and everyone in the church is a sheep, right? That's kind of nice to hear, right? And I know that I've heard pastors say, oh yes, we're all sheep. But when they come down to it, and actually what they speak about, they say, well, Jesus is our head shepherd, but I'm a shepherd and I lead you guys. And I know too many pastors that would agree with this, but then consider themselves kind of like an A-plus Christian or like a varsity or like a leader amongst Christians. And yet, I don't believe this is the heart of Jesus because we are all followers. We are all followers of Jesus, but I think the same thing kind of goes for miracles. The fact that you have breath in your lungs right now, that you drove here in a car, like that the sun is out, the mountains are beautiful, and all these things, it's not a bigger miracle than Jesus healing the leper like we've seen in the weeks past. True, Jesus healing the leper isn't as common as the breath in our lungs, thank you, Jesus, but both are miracles and gifts of God's grace in our lives, and to that we can say amen. In her book, Liturgy of the Ordinary, I love, part of it is I know what the chapters are entitled, like at least loosely in my mind. But when she's speaking of Jesus being in the ordinary things of our lives, that's why the peanut butter and jelly is just a sandwich, right? It's just like you just make it and keep going. But the titles of her chapters are these. Waking, that's like Liturgy in the Ordinary. Brushing our teeth, eating leftovers. One chapter called Fighting with My Husband, another called Checking Email, another called Sitting in Traffic, where I'm pretty sure she discloses that she is not as pure and holy as I am in traffic, I guess. I'm just kidding. Another chapter is called Calling a Friend, and then there's a chapter called Sleeping, all things that almost all of us do every day. And as she goes through these ordinary occurrences, she brings attention to the fact that Jesus is still working in our lives. It's not just in the big moments, but it's in the everyday life. And I believe that this is what the miracle of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law is showing us as well. This miracle isn't like a big aha moment miracle. It wasn't big diseases or ailments. Really, it was something that, and it's not something that would have ostracized her from her community, even if it would have just temporarily kind of put her kind of in the other room. She likely would have gotten over this with a day's rest or two, right? Just take a break, sleep it out, we'll get over this. This miracle, Jesus sees this woman resting and is sick with fever. He goes over to her, touches her hand, and then she gets up and starts serving Jesus and likely the other disciples that were with Jesus. In these two verses, we can learn a lot about Jesus in our ordinary lives. We can learn about how Jesus feels about our domestic, everyday duties, whether we do them out of drudgery or joy. Like, Jesus can speak to it. Simply put, Jesus saw Peter's mother-in-law. He comes to her. He touches her. He heals her. That's what happened here. And all this, she goes about with her normal activities. Now, normal activities in this case, she was serving, and she was serving the household that was there. That's not necessarily what your normal activity is. Your normal activity may be sending an email. It may be directing somebody. It may be homeschooling. It may be doing math problems, or it may be taking phone calls. Whatever your normal duty is, Jesus healed this woman so that she could go about her normal duties. Now, this house at Peter's house would have been a hub of activity while Jesus was in the region, and even after Jesus' ascension, it was a hub of activity. It is an assumption, but a logical one, that Peter's mother-in-law served a lot of people coming to the house over the years that she was Peter's mother-in-law. And this time, though, we get to see her, and we get to see her servant's heart in action. I believe that in these two verses, we can learn a lot about Jesus and what he cares about. Jesus sees the everyday. It doesn't go unnoticed, as it does by some, right? Some people don't know who serves them and won't acknowledge or even thank the one who serves them. When I think of this, I have a friend who has come over to our house many times. Mo has actually gone out of her way to make meals and serve this person meals that they might like or be able to eat because of restrictions and stuff like that on their diet. Not once has this friend of mine ever thanked Mo. Not once does this friend of mine acknowledge her sacrifice, which I know it was a sacrifice because she had to come up with something different to serve this person. Or the truth is that this person has never really even talked to Mo. But Jesus sees her. Jesus knows the wrestling of her heart as she's being ignored, as she prepares the meal, knowing that she's going to make it and going, well, I don't know, I'm making it. I hope they like it. I'm still going to serve this person, even though I know they've been over a number of times and they never once thanked me. Jesus knows that she wrestles with her heart and not probably, I don't know, contaminating the food or anything. I'm just kidding. She wouldn't do that. But like, Jesus knows what she's, I don't think so, right? Like, Jesus knows that she wrestles in her hearts with this, though. Jesus knows that it wasn't just a meal, but it was something done out of love and service for Jesus and for my guest. Jesus sees our everyday. He sees our acts of service to others, both big and small, both unrecognized and unappreciated moments when we ignore ourselves and serve others. When we do these things for Jesus, we serve him in these actions. He is more aware and more grateful than those we are serving in the flesh could ever show. But I love this. Jesus also comes to her and touches her hand. Now look at this as very like intimate and sweet, like just a kind gesture. He touches her hand. And two things in this. Jesus comes to her. He's the one that walks across the living room or whatever in somewhere in the house and however the house was laid out. And in the last couple miracles and in most other miracles that we see, people come to Jesus. Not in this one. In this one, Jesus walks in the door. He sees her. He approaches her and he touches her hand. It's a beautiful picture. Jesus, in this, we can see that Jesus approaches our everyday lives and touches it as well. We may not be sick, but we all walk around with things that bother us from time to time. Amen? We all have things that we wish weren't so. We all carry burdens ourselves or for our children or for our friends or for our loved ones or our coworkers, our employees, or even just the tasks that we have for the day. And Jesus comes into these in the moments, and he wants to touch our life. In this ordinary miracle, Jesus is showing us that he is with us in the everyday things that we do. And he cares enough about us to enter into our life with us. This is a beautiful picture, to touch our lives with his grace so that we can go about not necessarily doing amazing things, but just go about the ordinary, everyday work that God has for us. I think about this in church. We often lay hands on people and pray for something. When do we do this? We do this when I think of like a missions trip, right? Like when Ying went to China, we laid hands on her, prayed for her, sent her off or some special event or calling. And yet I've yet to see or do this myself, someone laying hands on someone before they wash dishes. Before you make this toast, let me lay hands on you and pray over you. It's because it's just ordinary things that are happening. And yet, Jesus lays his hand on us, even in the mundane work that we go about. Peter's mother-in-law, as soon as this happened, got up and served. Now, I've heard people point this out that maybe Jesus just wanted lunch. Like, he's just like, okay, all right, hey, I need some food. I'm hungry. I just got done with the Sermon on the Mount. I've healed a couple people on the way here. I'm going to touch your hand because I want a sandwich. I don't think that's what Jesus was doing, because that's not the heart of Jesus. He's not just like, hey, serve me, Peter's mother-in-law. But I believe this shows that Jesus cares about her desires and what she wanted to do in her day-to-day work. I've heard it put this way. Sometimes people ask the question, does Jesus care who wins the sports game, whatever game it may be? I'm not sure that he does. But what he cares about is the people playing the game. What he cares about is the integrity in which they act. And sports in our culture is highlighted. It's on TV. It's a bigger deal. It's something that, and that's why we ask this question. We don't ask it about, I wonder if Jesus cares that I make the toast well or make the eggs well. But he does. I'm not sure. We don't ever ask if Jesus cares if I fold the laundry correctly today, right? I know sometimes I try to do it when I fold laundry. I try to do it correctly. I'm not sure that he cares if I fold it correctly, but he wants us to know that he is with us during our tasks and we can do it as unto him. He is present and he wants to heal us so that we can live our lives well. Jesus, in healing Peter's mother-in-law, gives us a picture about how he cares about everyday domestic, non-big picture activities. In two verses, we get a window into Jesus caring for those he loves. This shows us that Jesus wants to heal us from some things that keep us from living the life that he has for us and the life that we get to go about. I fell in love with this text for this reason. It isn't big. It's more like every day. It doesn't come with theme music and anticipation or anything like that. It is a moment that passes over with little to no mention. And yet, Jesus cares deeply about this woman. Even most commentaries that I have on Matthew, this was the smallest section to date that I had on the commenting on it. It's like, they're like, yeah, Jesus healed the mother-in-law. And actually what they did is they focused more on verse 16 and 17. They're like, yeah, Peter, and most of them mentioned, oh, Peter's got a big house. And so you can see it. They've excavated it and done all these crazy things. But this gives, I believe that this miracle gives us a little window into our lives and how Jesus is present with us. He sees us. He comes. He meets with us. He touches us. He heals us. And we get up and make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Cool things happen after Jesus and his disciples get a meal. Right? Jesus gets refreshed by Peter's mother-in-law. And so we can mention that as well, that Jesus is refreshed. He, in this, in our lives, he is blessed by our everyday service as well. We go about life as normal, living it for Jesus, and Jesus is blessed by our lives as we live them. In a way, they can refresh him as well. And after Jesus is blessed, many people come to the house that night and have demons cast out of them, and many are healed. And as Jesus healed them and cast out demons, they too went back to their normal everyday life. Different, changed, but they just went back to whatever they had going on. And Jesus, when he healed Peter's mother-in-law with a touch, we can also see that in these last verses, with a great number of people, Jesus just spoke a word, like he spoke creation into being. The words of Jesus, the actions of Jesus serve to heal us and make us whole. Jesus did this, right? It says in the scripture that he took our illness and bore our disease. He took everything that is unright about us, and he is making it right. He is giving us his righteousness in exchange for our unrighteousness. And the great miracle that we celebrate every week is communion, where Jesus died on the cross for you and me, right? His body was sacrificed for us. His blood was shed for you and me for the forgiveness of our sins, for the things that we've done wrong and the things that we refuse to do that we know are right. Jesus took these things on himself, and he takes away our sin as he took away the fever of Peter's mother-in-law, as he cast out these demons, and as he healed the people that came to him. We are made well through Jesus' service and sacrifice for us. And so we come before him. This celebration is great because of the great miracle of the resurrection from the dead. Amen? But Jesus isn't dead. We can praise him for that. He is alive and well. The Holy Spirit that Jesus left for us can testify to us that Jesus is still alive, that Jesus still cares for us, that Jesus comes into our everyday. He notices, he cares, and he wants us to keep going because he is in our life. He touches our everyday lives and puts miracles in every single one of them. I pray that we may have eyes to see this. Even in the celebration that we see every day, we can see Jesus' life, his burial, which, by the way, is just normal. It's just average. It's ordinary. Often, we talked about this Palm Sunday and Easter and Good Friday's season, that oftentimes we live in this idea of already but not yet. Like, we're kind of in the tomb. We're just in the ordinary, awaiting for the coming miracle of Jesus' resurrection in our lives. But as we do this, he is with us even today. And in this, Jesus takes away our illness. He bears our diseases. And then Jesus gives us his life. Not only his life, but his life is one that is abundant, not without suffering and trial. It is his life nonetheless. I pray this for us, that we may live for him in the big, in the small, and everything in between. And let us leave this place today and go about in our everyday life with a deeper appreciation and awareness that we get to serve Jesus, that Jesus is with us, that he's doing this so that we can serve him with our emails, with our driving, with our brushing of teeth, right? With our making of food, with our everyday life, whatever it may be that we're doing, that we can do this with awareness that Jesus is with us and that he is speaking to us. So Jesus, we come before you. Lord, we know that we just live everyday lives, and that to count our life as less than a miracle is unfortunate, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us about who you are and about how much you love us, even in the mundane things that we do. Lord, that you will see us, know us, and care about us. In Jesus' name, amen.